Turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 5 and 6. They asked, what is the message? And I said, know God. And initially, he wrote down N-O. I said, no, not N-O, but K-N-O-W. Know God. Let's read this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Now, where I get the title for this message, Know, K-N-O-W, God, is from the word there, acknowledge. Now, this is an interesting word. The literal translation from the Hebrew is know. It's K-N-O-W, like know who God is. Know what God is saying. Know how He's dealing in all these other areas of our lives. Know God. Versus just, okay, God, you're there. When you think of acknowledge God, what do you think about? God, you're there. I acknowledge you're there, so forth. That's really not what's being said here. It's saying this, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, in every area of your life, know God. That is, know what God has to say. Know what His will is. Know how He's leading you. Know how He's given you insight and direction. In that particular area, how does it apply to where you are? Does that make better sense now? Huh? Y'all can feedback. Does that make sense? All right, good enough. All right. And it says, and He shall direct your paths. Isn't that interesting? Now, what I want to talk about tonight is kind of break these two verses down here. Talk about the different words here. And how they apply to us in everyday reality. The first is the word trust. Ooh. That song that, man, I start crying thinking about all the songs. I was just weeping over there tonight. I mean, I was, great. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take Him at His word. Listen, just to know. Just to rest upon His promise. Just to know, thus saith the Lord. Now, I'll tell you, folks, that's what our life is all about. It's all about trusting Him. Many years ago, I found myself in a situation. I didn't have any work. We'd moved out here to California, and I was in a ministry, and about 2 years later, I was not in the ministry. And it was a very scary time. We had just had a brand new home built, and we were all excited, and boom. And yet that has turned out to be one of the greatest blessings in my life. Because what God did through that was begin to teach me to trust Him. Not just talk about it, but actually do it. Now, one of the songs we sang tonight that wasn't a hymn, but it was a praise song about mold me, break me. Do y'all really mean that? Huh? All right, I'm going to tell you something. Get ready. Get ready. One of the many things I do, I don't know how well I do them, kind of like the old saying, jack of all trades and good at none. But one of the things I do is I do teach martial arts. I've been in that for many years. And we had some kids at the conference center that got jumped a few weeks back. And some guys came on campus, and it was kind of an interesting situation. But they contacted me. They called me. They said, Justin, could you teach us some stuff to help us out? And I said, sure, I'd be glad to. So we met last night. We had our first meeting. We meet on Monday nights at 6:30. And anybody else from here, if y'all want to come down, it's kind of a drive down to Calvary Chapel, Murrieta, but we go from 6:30 to 8:30, and it's open to anybody. But we started our class and teaching these young men who were there just some very basic things. And one of the very basic things that I teach my students is we teach how to punch correctly. And your front two knuckles right here are what we call the ram's head. And some of you probably take martial arts, don't know what I'm talking about. But we teach how to punch like this. You're hitting with this because your whole strength is in this. Well, one of the things I do to help people learn how to do that is do knuckle push-ups on your front two knuckles only on the hard gym floor. Now, I've been doing that for a long time. And this is what I'm going to have you guys doing, is you come up, you jump up, and you hit the floor. Boom, you do like that. Now, ma'am, you frown like, oh, gee, ask me, does that hurt? Say, Justin, does that hurt? Go ahead and ask me that. No, that is the girl. No, ma'am, no, right here. Just say, Justin, does that hurt? Does a cow go moo? Yes, it hurts. But now, here's the reality. One of the young men, he started doing that, not jumping up like that. I didn't have him do that because that's a little progressive, but he just started doing it. Oh, it hurts. And he just stopped. I can't do that. And I said, no, that's not true. What is true is that you don't want to do it because it hurts when you do it, and it's easier for you to stop and quit than go on through the pain. I said, that is what the truth is, isn't it? He said, yes, sir. I said, we're going to stop right now because this is not about martial arts. It's not about learning self-defense. This is all about Jesus. And I said, guys, everything we do here is all a part of your Christian walk. Because you're going to come to some hard, hard, hard places in your life where you're going to initially want to cut and run because the pain emotionally is just so great. Am I right or what? How many of you at one time or another have cut and run? Come on. Come on now. Let's be honest. I'm not trying to impress anybody. I have. But I will tell you this, as I was sharing with these young men, I said, you know the difference, because as I was singing that song, my land's alive, it brought back to me 39 and a half years ago, October the 1st of 1965, as an 18-year-old kid, in Hawkins Dormitory, Mississippi State University, athletic dorm, where I came to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. And I think about the gulf, oh, the mighty gulf that God did span in my life. He really did. And those first 3.5 years, our first 4 years, I should say, in Mississippi State, my Christian life were like spiritual boot camp. One of the first things a pastor, a Baptist pastor, told me, he says, Justin, if you'll begin studying the Bible as though it were another course, he said, you will never regret it. Never. Well, I started doing that. Started studying it on my own, like it was another course. And I'll tell you what, those last three and a half years of my life, doing that, that became the foundation for my life, even for today, in establishing my relationship with Jesus. And God took me through some very, very difficult times, ladies and gentlemen, just like He has you. Some very hard times. And He grounded me in His Word. And so, this whole aspect here of trust in the Lord with all your heart. What is the opposite of trust? Fear. You know, distrust. Fear. You see, if Satan can come and incite through doubt fear in you so that you end up embracing his lie, the lie being you can't really think you can trust God, do you? You think this Bible is just words. How is it going to help you out? You think this promise is real? See? And so he comes in with his lie and he incites doubt, which in turn incites fear in your heart. And you embrace his lie through fear. I can't trust God. I better do it myself, right? And we become like a headless chicken. I've used that expression here before. How many of you ever heard me use that? How many haven't heard me use that? Okay, well, you will. Because I want to make sure everybody's on the same plane here. Many years ago, I had an aunt that was a great cook in Mississippi Delta. And all my mother's aunts, I mean sisters, were great cooks. This aunt was one of the best. Her name was Aunt Letty. Lived in a place called Rolling Fork, Mississippi. Anybody from down that area? Anybody? No? Rolling Fork. It really is a town, believe me. But she made the best fried chicken. I tell people it was not too greasy. It wasn't hard. It was succulent. It would literally make your tongue slap your brain. It was so good. It was good. And she'd cook it with, she'd have fresh green beans or black-eyed peas, and she'd have grilled potatoes and chicken gravy with fresh tomatoes out of the garden, hot cornbread with real butter. I mean, I'm telling you, y'all getting hungry? Well, anyway, I'm a little boy. I'm about 5 or 6, so I never made a connection between the chicken on the platter and the chicken out in the yard until one day. She says, come out here with me. I said, yes, ma'am. She goes out there and gets in the chicken coop, corners one of those hens like this is the hen. She grabs that thing like this. The head is here and the body's here. And she takes that thing outside, closes the door, gets it out there. Wow, wow, wow. Pow! That's what happens. That head stayed here. The body hit the ground, ran around like this, and boom, fell over. That's where we get the expression, so-and-so's running around like a chicken with his head cut off. That's what happens. But here's what God really ministered to me about that many, many years later. When I embrace Satan's lie through fear, and understand, Satan's going to come at you in the area of your greatest vulnerability. He's going to come at you in the area of somehow survival, or of your sense of identity, or of your sense of justice, maybe in the area of forgiveness, or your sense of survival in the area of trusting the Lord with your funds, or trusting the Lord in an area that you want to do something in the flesh, maybe in the area of forgiveness, or striking out and God saying, you trust me. I have discovered that when I embrace Satan's lie through fear, I am like a headless chicken. How many of y'all ever seen that? Anybody here? A few of you? Not too many of you country folks, but the rest, some of you have. You know, where is that chicken going? Ma'am, you've seen that. Where is that chicken going? Absolutely nowhere, is it? Except to the frying pan. And not only that, the energy being expanded in that headless chicken's body, what is it good for? Nothing. Now you think about this. You think about the amount of time that you have spent being motivated by fear. Fear, I can't trust God, I better do it myself. How much time you've wasted, how much energy you've expanded, and where has it taken you? Huh? It has taken you in a place of depression. It's taken you in a place of bitterness and anger, of fear, of anxiety, of self-pity. Am I right? Isn't that a wonderful place to be? So listen, here's what God's saying. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Folks, I'm going to tell you what, that is a 24-7 job. It's a 24-7 job. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, if anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross when it's convenient, it's not too much trouble, maybe once a week, if that's too much, maybe once every other week. Huh? Daily. Now, literally in the Greek, that means all day, every day. Interesting, huh? It's not, okay, I'm going to have my devotional this morning for 30 minutes and that's it. I'm doing the rest of it. No. It's walking with Jesus in your mind all day long, every day. It's having His Word in your heart. We're going to come to that here. It's knowing God in all your ways. Not some of your ways, not most of your ways, but all of your ways. And when you know Him, in all aspects of your life, in all the areas that you're living, when you know Him, then He will direct your paths. You know why? Because you're trusting in Him. You're looking to Him. You're saying, Lord, I choose to obey You by faith. I choose to obey You by faith. These young men were all excited. Martial arts, this is great. And boy, you know, we started doing some stuff. And I started doing some flips and some jumps and all kinds of stuff. And I was good. But then we started doing those push-ups. And I'm going to tell you what, that was hard. And that hurt. And one boy said, I can't do it. I said, oh, no, that's not true. So he got determined. He got back down there. And I said, we're going to do these guys as unto the Lord. Everything we do in here is unto the Lord. You work through the pain as unto the Lord. And they did. And I said, that was a victory for you in Jesus. Not just about this, but that's going to be a victory for you when you come to something in your life that's going to be very hard. And Satan's going to try to scare the hell into you, really. And you will remember, I did this, Lord, I can do this. I will trust You now, Lord. I will come and I will rest in You, just like we sang. I will trust in You, Lord. I will rest in You. That's what this is talking about. Folks, understand, this is going to be a battle. It is not going to be a cakewalk, is it? Huh? Not a cakewalk. I like to use this illustration. I'm just a meat and potatoes guy, you know. But I'm pretty simple. But these illustrations really bring home a point. How many of y'all have ever seen Bowflex advertised? You know, Bowflex, that guy and that gal on that advertisement, to combine, they probably have less than 10% body fat on them, don't they? Combined. But I want to tell you something. They never got looking that way, working out on Bowflex one day in their life. The only time they worked out on Bowflex is when they were there selling, doing that advertisement. They got that way by going to a gym, by doing an intense program on free weights, primarily, doing some machines, but doing a very intense aerobic conditioning and really assiduously watching their diet. How many of you are excited about that? Now, I'm not saying Bowflex is bad. It's fine. But you're not going to look like that doing Bowflex three times a week, maybe 15 to 20 minutes at a shot. It won't happen. It will not happen. Are you with me? Ladies and gentlemen, you and I are not going to grow in the Lord 5 minutes a day, every other day, maybe every third day. You're not going to grow in the Lord. You're not going to be able to survive the attacks that Satan's going to come at you with. Are you with me? Emotionally, you will cave, and I will cave. Anybody will cave. Satan is too strong an enemy. He is too skillful. He knows you're vulnerable, your areas of vulnerability. So you've got to understand the grace of God is there. Oh, I love these hymns tonight. I'm so blessed. I don't know. Did y'all tape that song? Did y'all tape those songs tonight? Did y'all take them? Well, I'd love to get those songs. I want to hear those songs. Those bless me. But you're not going to grow like that. It's just not going to happen. It's going to take you exercising spiritually in prayer, in the Word, all day, every day. How many of you think all day long while you're awake? You have all kinds of thoughts going through your mind, don't you? You think about sadness. You think about goodness. You think about you're feeling sorry for yourself. You're getting mad. You think about what people are going to say to you. You think all the time, don't you? Is it hard to think? You do it without even trying it, don't you? Let me tell you something. You know what needs to be the filter of your thoughts? God's Word. Well, gee, that means I'm going to have to take time to read it. That's going to be hard. Yes, that is the real world. I want to say this with all due respect to everyone here, with all grace and mercy, considering my own sin and failure and the fact that I'm a wart on the backside of a hog, voted looks. But I want to tell you this. There is no way that you're going to grow in Jesus Christ being a Bowflex Christian. Huh? You will not grow in Christ applying Bowflexology. It will not happen. It will not happen. I'm not here to discourage you. I'm not here to beat people down or condemn anybody. I'm not doing. I'm a realist. I got jumped by about 20 guys 17 years ago in Colorado Springs. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I will tell you this. If I had not been working out, if I had not known how to defend myself, I would not be standing here today. My fourth daughter was in my wife's womb. My wife was watching the whole fight. I would have been killed. No doubt about it, I would have been killed. About a couple of years later, a soldier was killed from Fort Carson there in Colorado Springs. Got jumped by some guys like that. But God enabled me to do that. I was able to come out of that. That was a very intense battle. I thank God, if anybody else in my church had been there, there was one other young man, I sent him off. He would have been killed too. Okay? So there was a real life encounter where God had enabled me and prepared me to be able to meet that and defend myself. Listen to me. You're going to meet real life encounters every day. You are right now, are you not? You're meeting situations and things that you never thought you would encounter. Am I right? How many of you say, yes, that's me? And emotionally, you feel like, where do I go? This can't be right. God, where are you if you really love me? And you know who's telling you all that? God isn't. Satan is. You see? Because he's trying to put the pressure on you and the squeeze on you where you turn your back on God because he wants to eat you up and spit you out. How many of you have found that your Christian walk is a lot tougher and more difficult than you ever imagined? That's good. Hallelujah. Because that is reality. Now, let me ask you this. Coupled with that, how many of you have found yourself embracing and enveloping yourself in self-pity as a result of realizing that? Well, come on, let's be honest now. Come on now. You see, self-pity is a very effective tool that Satan uses. But you know what? It never takes you any place, does it? God wants you to move beyond that. Now, you're going to have to go through a valley. You're going to have to press on through this valley. David called it the valley of the shadow of death. Really, that term in the Hebrew means the valley of deep emotional darkness. Ooh. And though I go through the valley in Psalm 23 of deep emotional darkness, thou art with me. One of the things that God wants to do is to begin to deliver you from trusting in your emotions. Now, I do this periodically. I haven't done it in a long time, but let's see. I don't see anybody up close here. It's got a good shock of hair in the front few rows. Let's see. Oh, you don't have enough hair. I won't do it. But you know what? And a lot of you guys put that stuff on your hair. So I try to grab it, and it's like, you know, it's real crinkly, so I won't do it. But there is a move that we have that people, when somebody tries to attack you and to choke you, you do a block here, and you come up, hit their nose, and you grab their hair. Well, let me tell you what Satan does. All that's a softener. If I just went to grab somebody's hair, and I didn't hit them in the face first, and just grab their hair, they'd choke me, they'd do all kinds, I'd be in real trouble. So the first thing I do is I block, I hit their nose, boom, grab the hair, I've softened them up, and then I can take them wherever I want to, can I? Huh? If they don't have hair like this gentleman here, I grab... No. What I do is I grab their ear. And you grab somebody's ear like that and yank them around, I guarantee you they're going to go where you take them. You see, that's exactly what Satan is doing with you and me, is it not, huh? He hits us in the area of our greatest emotional weakness. Am I right? He hits you in that area with fear, with doubt, with a lie, with self-pity, with whatever he can. With feeling unappreciated, with feeling rejected, with feeling lonely. Am I right? And once he's done that, it's like figuratively grabbing you by the hair of your head. And with that emotion, he will yank you everywhere he wants to. Am I right? God wants to set you free from that. He really, really does. Folks, I want to tell you, this trust here is only going to come as you abide in His Word and His Word abides in you. Isn't that interesting? I want you to look at Romans 10:17 with me for just a moment. I want us all to read that together. And I have the New King James, because I know that's for most Calvaries. Or how many of y'all have New King James? All right, just whatever version you have, let's read it together. Ready? One, two, three. So then, faith... Wait, start over. When I say three, we all start so then. All right, here we go. Ready? One, two, three. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Ooh. Now, I'm going to tell you what, you guys are blessed to have one of the most godly, Christ-centered, loving, incredible pastors in Jack Hibbs. I love that man, great man of God. But you know what? It doesn't say faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of Pastor Jack, does it? Whoa! As great a teacher as Jack is, you know what? That's secondary and tertiary revelation for you. It's got to come as you sit and meditate and ingest this for yourself. You say, oh, gee whiz, I guess I have to do this. Yeah, but think about all the things you do that you don't have to do. Folks, we are talking about sacrifice. We are talking about sacrifice. You will not grow without that. You will not grow without that. You're going to have to go through some knuckle push-ups, figuratively speaking. Oh, it's just so hard a time. Yes, I know it is, but you know you need to press on through Christ. He will give you that strength to do that. You're going to have to set aside what your priorities are. Now, next phrase there, and lean not on your own understanding. Ooh. How many of y'all have ever eaten a claim jumper? Do y'all have one up here? Do y'all have claim jumper up here? I love claim jumper because they have, when I go to eat, aesthetics mean basically nothing for me. I just don't want to see a cat or dog peeing on the floor or something like that. You know, I don't want to see that. But I'm really not concerned about the lights and all the woo-woo stuff. That doesn't mean a whole lot to me. If I get a little piece of meat like that and they charge me $20 for it, that is not very exciting for me. So what I go for is quantity and quality in that order. A lot of it that's good. As long as it's clean and nice, and that's fine with me. Claim Jumper has both. I love their chicken fried steaks because they serve two big, huge pieces with a huge, giant baked potato with vegetables on the side and that huge biscuit. And I get that, put butter on it and honey and eat that. That's my dessert. But let's say you go to Claim Jumper. You're probably getting hungry now if you haven't eaten supper already. All this food I'm talking about, huh? And you go to Claim Jumper. Now, how many of you all are from the country, have been around the country a little bit? How many of you know what cow pie is? How many do not know what cow pie is? Come on, be honest. Oh, very good. That's very good. Well, I'm excused. Those of you that know what cow pie is, don't say anything until after I've given this story. So you go to Claim Jumper. And you order the chicken fried steak, but instead they bring out chicken fried cow pie. Now, you're having a good time, sir. Let me tell you what chicken fried cow pie is. Cow pie is cow manure. It's dried cow manure. They poop out there in the field, and it looks like a pie. It really does. It just comes out. It hardens. A lot of times people use it for discs and things. We used to throw it around in the country. But that's what it looks like. And so instead of chicken fried steak, you get chicken fried cow pie. And you don't know it. And you got the gravy, and you dig into that, put it in your mouth. Now listen to me. You won't forget that illustration, will you? Because that's exactly what it's like, spiritually and emotionally, when you lean to your own understanding. It's like eating chicken fried cow pie versus chicken fried steak, which is the Word of God and His direction for your life. Are you with me? It's exactly what it's like. I know because I've done it. Huh? It's very titillating. Ooh, it looks good. But boy, you dig into it and you start eating. Oh, my God, what is this? You see, in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, look over there with me for just a moment. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Wow. The phrase here, every intent, that word intent in the Hebrew literally means form. Now, many of you here have poured concrete. You go out and you measure out the place where you want. You clean off the grass. You level the dirt out. You put stakes and you put a little string around it. Then what's the next thing you do? Forms. You put the forms there. Now, the forms are not the finished product. That's just what the concrete's going, the shape it's going to take once you pour it. You haven't even mixed the concrete yet. Listen to me. That's what this word is in the Hebrew. It's saying every form of the thoughts. In other words, before your thoughts even become cognitive thoughts in your mind, before you even recognize it as a thought, the Bible's saying it's evil continually, all day, every day. Is that interesting or what? So, folks, I want to tell you something. I read a lot. And I teach at different places, and I read all kinds of funny languages and things like that. Read a lot of material, various sources. And one of the things that I really see out there is the intense propensity that human beings have to feed on chicken fried cow pie versus chicken fried steak. And the reason being is because they think they're really getting nourishment. It all goes back to self-deification. When Eve was tempted in the garden by Satan, he said, if you will eat this fruit, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. In other words, you'll be your own God. God's trying to keep something back from you. You don't need God. You can be your own God. Well, sure enough, she ate the fruit, gave it to Adam, and he ate. And I've always found it interesting whenever I get into academic circles and people, you know, put down that as myth and this, that, and the other. I always bring up the psychological aspect because the Bible is a book of psychology, but it's biblical psychology based on the truth that you and I are corrupt to the core. And I talk about how that Eve, indeed, what she did was the desire within all of us, and that is to deify ourselves because we tend to find our sense of worth and significance by doing and saying those things that we think in our mind are making us significant in the minds of others. Am I right? And so we're always trying to impress others in some way in our mind with others. Am I right? But you know what? No matter what you do, it's never enough, is it? To quench that deep desire for significance, is it? When you're trying to find it in the response from other people. Never is enough, is it? Never. Never, never. And the reason is because you're trying to feed on chicken fried cow pie versus chicken fried steak, ladies and gentlemen. It's never going to satisfy. Never going to satisfy. Your thinking is so flawed and skewed as well as mine is. And you can see that throughout history. All the way from the earliest known writings in ancient Samaria down to today. Karl Marx, father being a Jew, rejected that, became a Lutheran because that was the thing to do. Karl Marx grew up in that, saw no life in that, basically developed communism out of reading a lot of different sources, and that was what he wrote his doctoral thesis on there at the University of Berlin. And yet Karl Marx died a beggar. He lived off of the wealth. Now, this is the hypocrisy. Frederick Engels was the guy who profited. Frederick Engels' father was a major industrialist. That's where Engels got his money. And so Engels supplied Karl Marx the money to survive from his father, who was an industrialist, for him to live off of. Now, you might think, and looking at that, wait a minute, there's something wrong with this picture. Karl Marx couldn't even live off of his own view of communism. He lived off of a capitalist means of support. Does that sound a little skewed or what? And so we see the development of communism through Vladimir Lenin as he came and basically started the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia, deposing Tsar Nicholas II, having him and his whole family assassinated. Lenin dies, and then the madman Joseph Stalin comes in and kills around 13 million of his own people. The glories of communism. Stalin dies, and then we go from Khrushchev all the way down until finally we get to the place where communism begins to self-destruct. Self-destructs. Glasnost and perestroika came in because they began to realize we're feeding on chicken fried cow pie. Okay? This is not working. And I want to tell you something. I don't know how many of you have ever read the Communist Manifesto. It's a fascinating read. It is pure hatred, jealousy, covetousness. All couched in philosophical and political and economic terms, but that's what it is. Jealousy, covetousness, self-pity, period. That's what socialism is. But it's all based on the corruption of me feeding off of my own mind. Are you with me? I'm just using that as an example because all of us can see that. You see, if Marxism was correct and the basic premise of communism was accurate, where should the Soviet Union be today? Absolutely, but it imploded. Well, let's bring it on down home here. Let's put the cookies on the table where we are tonight, right here. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you that if you lean on your own understanding, your own understanding is guided by your own self-pity, your own jealousy, your own bitterness. Am I right? Your own lust, your own greed, your own pride. Folks, that's chicken fried cow pie. How many of you want that? I don't believe so. And so, he's saying, do not lean on your own understanding. Oh, it's so tempting to do that. We find ourselves doing it without even thinking about it. Now, I want you to turn with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, real quickly. Paul writes, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." Now here's what he's saying in this. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war. That word war, write this down, is stratuomai. S-T-R-A-T-E-U-O-M-A-I. Stratuomai. What does that sound like in English? Strategy is exactly what it is. What he's saying is, for though we walk in the flesh, listen, we do not strategize according to the flesh. I don't strategize according to my own logic, my own emotions. I want to strike out and just absolutely eliminate somebody's nose off their face because they've hurt me. We may feel that way. We need to pray and bless them. You see. So, we don't strategize according to the flesh. The weapons of our strategy are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Let me tell you, those strongholds, ladies and gentlemen, are those areas in our life where emotionally we are incredibly susceptible to his lies. To pride, to jealousy, to bitterness, self-pity, all those things. Are you with me? Those are the areas, those are the strongholds that God wants to break down. And they have to be broken down continually, all day, every day. Now look. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What are the arguments? Satan coming in saying, you think you can believe God for that? You can't trust God in that. You're stupid. And you don't even realize. You start contemplating, whoa, that's right. You see, as Satan came at Jesus in the wilderness with those three temptations, I always used to think Jesus, that Satan came in bodily form. As I grew older, I realized he didn't. He came at him in his mind, just like he comes at you and me. And he attacked Jesus in those areas. Jesus was fully God, but he was also fully man, ladies and gentlemen. And he came at Jesus in those areas of his greatest need at that point as a man. And each time Jesus responded by what? Rabbi Snagglepuss says this, and Rabbi Hillel says this, and Rabbi Shammai says, is that what he said? Huh? What did he say? It is written. And he quoted the word each time. Folks, I want to tell you, this is your source for psychological wholeness right here. It's going to take you meditating on it. It's going to take you praying. You go to a psychologist, a psychiatrist, you pay hundreds and hundreds of dollars, and you come away from there, and you're trying to hype yourself up. You're either on medication. I'm not here decrying that, because there are times that's very important, and it can be of some help. But folks, the ultimate healing is going to come as you come to grips with your identity in Christ. And I'm not a woo-woo person. I'm not here to condemn anything. I'm here to speak truth. Because I've been there, I'm going to tell you, that's the only thing that's going to really set you free. But it is a battle. See, we're always looking for the easy way, aren't we? The comfortable way. It's not there, just like those boys were saying, oh, I can't do that, it hurts. I said, no. You can do it, but you don't want to do it because it hurts. He said, yes, sir, that's right. I said, so let's do it. Work through the pain. We'll just do a few. Next time we'll do more. I wish I could tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that there is a way to short-circuit the cross. We sang about the cross tonight. Brother Don sang, I'm going to tell you what, my lands, I was... Don, wherever you are, I want that tape, brother. I want those songs. See, you can't circumlocute the cross. The cross is the means of life. Are you with me? We are so corrupt in our thinking. Our thinking has to die. The old forms that are there have to die. The mind of Christ has to take over. But there is painful for that to happen. It hurts. So we're casting down these arguments, you see, these lies of the enemy. And look, and all the things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, bringing most of our thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Is that what it says? What does it say, ma'am? How much? How much is all? Is all? Is all most? Is all a majority? Every thought. Every thought. Gee whiz, just that means I'm going to have to be thinking about God all day. You know what? You think about all things all day, don't you? I'm doing 10 things simultaneously every day. You know, one guy said, hey, if I send this, can you get your secretary to do this? I said, I sure will, because I am my secretary. I'm the cook and the baker and the candlestick maker. I have to do it all. But you know what? In all the multitude of stuff that I have before me, I am a dirty dirt ball. I'm not just a dirt ball. I'm a dirty one. But I'm going to tell you, my mind is constantly on the Lord, because every day when I get up in time to wash my mind with this. And I meditate on it. I read it. And I keep it throughout the day. Are you with me? Because I then begin to know God in all of my ways. You see, whatever way I'm going in, I'm able to know what He's saying to me. Now, look back here in Proverbs. I think, I'm assuming I'm supposed to finish at 8:30. Is that right? Okay. So I've got 8 minutes here. All right. But in all your ways, and here we come, know Him. How are you going to know Him? Listen, listening to tapes, listening to the radio, listening to messages, reading books. I've got a house full of books. I don't know how many books I read a year. I read a bunch. But I'm going to tell you what, ladies and gentlemen. All of that stuff is not what gives me the direction for my life. It can be help. It can complement a little bit. But this is where it is right here. Folks, I love you in Jesus. God's grace is greater than all our sin, but I want to tell you what. Bowflex Christianity will not cut the mustard. It will not cut the mustard. Okay. Burger King Christianity, have it your way, will not cut the mustard. That will not cut the mustard either. Are you with me? It won't do it. It's going to take knuckle push-up Christianity, if you will, to do it. Okay? Listen to me. You find yourself, oh, I'm weak, I've been knocked down, and I'm just such a lousy person. How many of you in here feel like you're a lousy person? Oh, look around. Oh, you thought you were the only one, didn't you? We all are. We've all dropped the ball. That's why it's God's grace that keeps us. The self-pity, the discouragement, I guarantee you, think about that. Where does that thought come from? Does that come from God? Is God telling you, don't believe me? Does God say, hey, listen, don't believe me when I tell you to believe me? I want you to think, well, that's, I just can't believe God. You know, I can't expect God to do that. Yeah, that's right. Don't expect me to do that. Do you think God's telling you that? Of course not. So it's learning to bring all of these thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. It's learning to know God in all of our ways, in your business, in dealing with your husband-wife relationship, your children. And dealing with all of the unexpected things, the heartbreaking things that happen in your life, in your family, in your business, in church, the hurts that you have, the unexpected things, a water heater exploding and flooding your floor or something like that, or your car breaking down, or having to spend $1,000 here and $2,000 there, somebody getting sick, or various and sundry things happening, the unexpected things that you don't want to happen, right? Satan comes in and says, oh, if God really loved you, why did he let that? And, I mean, that's one of the greatest lies. That's one of the greatest things. There are some very crooked businessmen out there. I don't even know whether I should say the name. I perhaps shouldn't. But I would just tell you, if any of you are interested in getting a dish, be very wary of Star Satellite Company, okay? I won't say anything more, but I will say this. There are people out there that will take everything they have. They will not tell you the truth. They will. You ever call those dish people and they add cost and do this, that, and the other? Anyway, I won't get it. I won't go there. But the point I do want to make is this: in all of our situations in life, when somebody gyps you out of things, I mean all kind of things. Are you with me? Dealing with the financial pressures, dealing with the job pressures. Do you realize that God's Word deals with all of those issues? But here's what Satan will say to you. Yeah, but God doesn't work in this. I mean, the Bible's not applicable in this situation. How many of you ever heard that little thought? Huh? You ever had that little voice? Yeah. That's a lie. And the reason Satan's saying that, because he knows that if you do apply God's Word in that area, there will be victory, but he's going to come at you. He's going to attack you. He's going to try to discourage you. But understand, discouragement and despair do not come from God at any time. It's learning how to see what these thoughts are, the lies and the deceptions they are. And look at the promise here. And he will direct your paths. Not may direct. He will direct. He will give you grace. He will give you mercy. He will give you wisdom in knowing how to deal with things. Like Paul when he was in that jail that time. And the Romans put him in there. And he came back and he says, when he was in Philippi. And he says, hey, is it right for you to jail a Roman citizen without having talked to him? And they said, whoa. And they go back, they're scared to death. See, so God gave him wisdom in how to deal with that and how he got out of there and how he was able to go preach the gospel. So what I'm saying is God gives you wisdom, his wisdom, in every area of your life. But ladies and gentlemen, you have got to know God. And you only know God through his word and through communicating with him in prayer all day, every day. no substitute, no circumlocution, no Bowflex Christianity. This is the way to go right here. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you that truly you are our rock, our refuge, our strength, O God. You're our very, very present help in our time of need. I just pray for these precious saints tonight, Lord, that you will truly encourage and strengthen, bless. Lord, I thank you that we do have to come to the end of ourselves. We do have to come to the end of ourselves, Lord, and rest in you. It's a hard trip to come there. May you bring each of us there, Lord. May we find our rest, our strength in you. In Jesus' name.